打开旧约，出埃及记第十五章，第四章第十五节和第十六小节的第六章第四小节第十五节和第十六小节，让我们一起来朗读今天的经文。耶和华对摩西说，我要将粮食从天降给你们，百姓可以出去每天收每天的份，我好试验他们遵不遵我的法度。你们可以选择，稍等一下啊，你们可以选择这个英文，如果说你可以翻一下，有不懂中文的朋友可以看下面的英文，用你熟悉的语言读就好了。
Anyone who doesn't know Chinese, just read the English verses.
Okay. 第十五节，以色列人看见，就彼此对问说：“这是什么呢？”摩西对他们说：“这就是耶和华给你们吃的食物。耶和华所吩咐的是这样：你们要按着个人的饭量，为帐篷里的人。”按着人数收起来，各拿一俄美尔。新约，约翰福音第六章一到十五小节，我们请我右手边的读单数，左手边的读双数。让我们一起来，一二三。这些事以后，耶稣渡过加利利海，就是提比里亚海，有一大群人因为看见他在病人身上所行的神迹，就跟随他。耶稣上了山，和门徒一同坐在那里。那时犹太人的逾越节近了，耶稣举目看见一大群人来，就对腓力说，我们到哪里去买饼给这些人吃呢？他说这话是要考验腓力，他自己原知道要怎样做。腓力回答他说，就是200个银币的饼也不够给他们每个人吃一点点。有一个门徒，就是西门彼得的弟弟安德烈，对耶稣说，这里有一个孩子带着五个大饼和两条鱼，但是分给这么多的人还算什么呢？耶稣说，你们叫大家坐下。那地方的草多，人们就坐下，男人的数目约有5000人。耶稣拿起饼来祝谢了，就分给坐着的人，也同样分给了鱼，都照他们所要的来分。他们吃饱后，耶稣对他们说，把剩下的碎屑收起来，免得糟蹋了。他们就把那5个大麦饼的碎屑，就是大家吃剩的，收起来，装满了12个篮子。人们看见耶稣所行的神迹，就说，这真是要到世上来的先知。耶和华知道他们要来强迫他做王，就独自又退到山里去了。好，谢谢大家。接下来呢是讲道时间，今天为我们讲到的是圣庭姐妹，主题是量身定做的神迹，今天担任翻译的是廖明明姐妹，有请。
Today's topic is the tailor-made miracle from shared by Sister Shenting.
弟兄姐妹大家主内平安。
Dear brothers and sisters, peace to you all.
很开心再一次的跟大家在这里一起敬拜神。
So glad that we can gather again to worship God.
刚才我们读了这段经文。
Just now, the verses we read.
我相信大多数人都读过，而且非常熟悉。
This is an account we all know inside out.
无论是主日学的小朋友。
Whether it is the children in Sunday school.
或者是在座的大朋友们。
Or the adults sitting here.
我们是不是都听过这个故事？
We all heard about this story.
那个小朋友怎么被叫走了？ 让他进来，我问一下他知不知道这个故事。耶稣用五个饼和两条鱼，
Jesus used 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes，
让五千人吃饱，
to feed over 5,000 people。
当我们谈起这些事情的时候，
when it comes to this event，
有人把它当神话故事听，
some people listen to it as myth。
但是我们要把神的话当神的话来听，
but we must listen to God's word as God's word。
我们要知道这两者是有天壤之别的。
There is a world of difference between the two。
这一段经文一开始说，
At the beginning of the verses，
这是以后耶稣渡过加利利海，就是提比里亚海。
After this Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee， which is the Sea of Tiberias。
这指的是一个水域哈。
This refers to a single body of water。
那为什么说这片水域它有两个名字呢？
But why does it have two names？
提比里亚海是后来对加利利海的称呼。
The Sea of Tiberias was a later name given to the Sea of Galilee。
因提比里亚海得名。
Named after the city of Tiberias。
因提比里亚城得名，对。那这个城呢，是西律安提帕斯为讨好罗马皇帝提比留凯撒而建的。
The city was built by Herod Antipas to flatter Roman Emperor Tiberius Caesar。
简单来说呢，如果好理解的话，就你现在想说墨西哥湾被称作美国湾是一个道理。
Just like how the Gulf of Mexico is sometimes colloquially referred as a relation to the U.S.
能理解吧？那耶稣渡过的这个海，又是哪一个海呢？我们说。
So where did Jesus cross the sea from, and where did he go?
通过后面的经文，我们发现。
Looking at the subsequent verse, we found that
耶稣这个神迹结束后呢，门徒他找不到耶稣。
After the miracle ended, Jesus' disciples couldn't find him.
他们就打算渡海回到加百农去。
So they planned to cross the sea back to Capernaum.
加百农在哪儿？你们看地图最上面。
So you can see the left corner on the map.
加百农在最上面左边一点。那神所以推断呢，耶稣渡海的这个起点就有可能是在加百农。
So it is highly inferred that the starting point of Jesus crossing was Capernaum.
而五饼二鱼神迹所发生的地点呢，根据经文所描述的说，它有很多草，还有平地和山。
The location where the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish took place, the text describes as a plain with a lot of grass and mountains.
有一个很大的可能发生地是在博塞大附近。
So this is very likely the spot is somewhere near Bethsaida.
博塞大就是在我们这个地图最上面右边一点点。
So Bethsaida is the one on the right corner.
那他们两地呢，直线距离大概是六到八公里左右。
The distance between Capernaum and Bethsaida is about 6 to 8 kilometers.
就是渡海或者是步行都可以到达。
Reachable by either boat or on foot.
所以把五饼二鱼的地点估计在博塞大附近也是比较有理论依据的。
This helps us confirm the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish occurred near Bethsaida.
同时我们注意到经文里边也说那时犹太人的逾越节近了。
Additionally, the text notes that the Jewish Passover was near.
这也解释了就是当时人群大规模流动的一个原因。
That also explains the gathering and large-scale movement of people.
因为他平时是没有那么多人聚集在一起走的啊。我想啊，就是关于这个场景，没有比今年七月份奥斯陆人更能明白这句话的含义了，对吗
？I think no one understands better the meaning of this sentence than the people of Oslo in July this year.
如果我们熟悉挪威的假期，七月份。
In recent weeks, we noticed every few days.
如果我们熟悉我们以前的假期，七月份的时候。
If we know better our past July summer holidays.
大家都出去度假了，城里没有人。
The city would be completely empty even at night.
晚上也没有人。哪里都是安安静静的。
Everywhere is quiet.
但是最近这几周可不是这样。
However, in recent weeks, it's not like this.
我发现每隔几天
，I noticed every few days around dusk,
就有大规模的人群集中聚集在一起。
Massive crowds gather coming from all directions.
他们从四面八方聚集。
They come from all directions.
他们甚至还着装统一。
And they dress the same.
一般是在午夜时分。
And they gather at usually midnight.
然后他们会一排一排地坐好。
And they sit in rows.
然后跟着前方人的指挥的鼓点儿。
And performing unified movement in perfect sync with a beat of drum.
然后整齐划一地做一个动作，对吗？
And doing the same gesture.
我想大家都脑袋里有印象，我描述的是什么场景。
I know everyone knows what I'm talking about.
在这之前，在我看到这个场景之前。
Before this,
我其实不太能理解经文里边说当五饼二鱼神迹的时候
I couldn't quite grasp how during the miracle of five loaves and two fish
门徒们让跟随耶稣的五千多人一排一排地坐好他们就能乖乖地坐下去坐好
The disciples told the followers to sit down in rows and they just obediently complied
但是当我看完挪威人肉肉肉之后
But after watching Norwegians do the row row row
我想我能够明白这个情景了。
I finally get it.
当大家的追求是一样的
When everyone shares the same pursuit,
当我们心中的想法是一样的
When their eyes are fixed,
当我们眼中只有一个人的时候
When their eyes are fixed only on one person,
就像经文里所写的许多人看见耶稣在病人身上所行的神迹就跟随他
When the thoughts of their hearts are identical, just as the scripture says, many followed Jesus because they saw the signs.
因此大家的行为也可以是一样的。
That's why everybody's behavior can align perfectly.
并且不是被动的，是自发的，愿意的，配合的。
Willingly and cooperatively.
所以这样看来，五千多人聚集在一起，一排一排的坐好。
So look at this way, 5,000 people sitting down in rows.
也是一个非常符合逻辑现实的描述。
Is actually a very realistic description.
那我们说耶稣上了山。
The text says Jesus went up to the mountain.
和门徒坐在一起。
And sat there with his disciples.
我们想象一下哈，耶稣和门徒坐在山上。
Let's visualize Jesus and the disciples are sitting on the mountain.
这个山就像小山丘，不是特别高的山。
Which is more like a small hill.
有一点像我们举头就可以看，有点像那个卡尔约翰大街上的王宫的那个状态。
A similar height as the royal palace on Karl Johan Gata.
耶稣和门徒坐在山上。
So they sit on the hill.
有点像五月十七号王室站在阳台上挥手的那个状态。
It feels a bit like the royal family standing on the balcony waving on Sinai.
所以我们都可以想象得到五饼二鱼这个神迹的画面啊。
So we can all picture the scene of the miracle.
在这个画面的中心
At the center of the picture.
是耶稣他拿着一点点饼和那两条鱼注谢了就分给众人。
Jesus takes a tiny amount of bread and two fish, give thanks and distribute them to the crowd.
神迹就这样发生了。
And just that, the miracle happens.
我不想过多地描述这个饼有多大。
I don't want to over-describe it about the size of the fish and bread.
因为大家在上班的时候，老板的饼已经画得够大了，是吧？我就不用再画饼了。所以我也不想说鱼的大小。
Yeah, because the size of bread and fish just a drop in the bucket.
因为无论对五千人来讲，就是无论这个大小，对于五千人来说，它都是杯水车薪，对吧？而神迹真正重要的，我们说是那个中心的人物是耶稣。
So what truly matters is the miracle of the miracle is Jesus.
他注谢了，就把饼和鱼分给众人。
He's God, and he gave thanks, distributed the bread and fish to the crowd.
众人吃，并且吃饱了。
The crowd ate, was filled, and have leftovers.
而且有余，因为在神看来，这个世界就是他创造的，他说有就有。
In God's eyes, the world was created by him. He speaks, and it comes to be.
我们想神在创造的时候，就是借着他的话创造的。
When he created the universe, it was done through his word.
他的话就是道，而道就是神。
His word is the word, and the word is God.
所以主耶稣注谢了。
Therefore, Lord Jesus gave thanks.
把饼分给门徒。
And distributed the bread and fish.
然后门徒又把饼分给众人。
And the disciples distributed the food to the crowds.
这个过程是源源不断分出去的。
So this is continually without end.
这是门徒与主同工的过程。
This was the moment they collaborated with the Lord.
是他们见证神迹的时刻。
That's the moment they witnessed the miracle.
没有人比门徒受到的震撼更大。
No one was more shocked than the disciples.
他们亲眼看见了那五个饼和那两条鱼是如何被超越物质的主祝谢了，分给他们，他们又分给众人的。
They have seen those five loaves of bread and two fish with their own eyes, and yet the Lord, who transcends matter, gave thanks, distributed to them.
而且重点是都随着众人所要的，他们吃饱了。
And the 5,000 plus people in front of them ate as much as they wanted and were filled.
门徒们在分完之后，他们自己每个人也得了一篮子的饼。
After finishing the distribution, each disciple ended up with a bucket full of bread.
我在想，当门徒每个人拿这个饼的时候，他们心里在想什么
？I wonder when the disciples were thinking when each held a bucket of bread in their hands.
是不是以后吃喝都不用愁了
？Were they thinking of taking back to their family so that they won't never to have to worry about food again?
还是说他们在想，为什么五个饼可以变出这么多的饼
？Or were they wondering how could five loaves?Of bread turned into so many.
那让这一切发生的这一位又是谁呢
？Who on earth is this person I'm following?
我们说门徒们所认识的耶稣啊，他是隔壁村木匠的儿子。
The Jesus the disciples knew was the son of a carpenter from the neighboring village.
但是他们眼前所看到的行神迹的这一位是谁呢
？So who is this person standing right in front of them?
根据后面的经文说，这真是那要来的，那是。后面的经文说，那些人说耶稣是真要啊。后面的经文说，这些人认为耶稣是真要来到那世间的先知。
Later in the text, the crowd says, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world."
但问题是，耶稣只是那先知吗
？But is Jesus merely that prophet?
耶稣究竟是谁呢
？Who exactly is Jesus?
我想他们这些门徒应该不是很确定。
I think the disciples weren't entirely sure.
他们的对于耶稣的认知，在看见耶稣所行的神迹之后，在不断的碰撞，不断的在质疑，在疑问，在求证。
Faced with the miracle Jesus performed right before their eyes, the logic and experience were constantly clashing, questioning, doubting, verifying, and searching for answers.
他们在寻找答案，耶稣究竟是谁？我们看，一方面，吃饱了的众人，经文十四节告诉我们说，他们要强逼耶稣做王。
On the other hand, the crowd that eaten their fill wanted to force Jesus to be king.
所以这就告诉我们说，他们只是认识耶稣是先知，是世上的王而已。
Looks at this way, they only recognize Jesus as a prophet or an earthly king.
到那时那刻，他们还没有认出耶稣是神。
People has not yet realized Jesus is God, including the disciples.
甚至包括那些门徒们，众人逼耶稣做王。
The crowd forced Jesus to be king.
因为他们认为跟着耶稣有神迹可以看。
Because they believed that by following him, they would get to see more miracles.
有饼可以吃。
And have more bread to eat.
也正是因为他们的需求如此，所以神也按照他们所需求的、所期待的满足他们了。
Thus God satisfied them according to their expectations, as the scripture says, as much as they wanted, they have eaten their fill, they benefited.
就像经文所说的，随着他们所要的，他们吃饱了，他们也受益了。然而，跟随耶稣，如果只是为了吃饼、看神迹的话，我想我们的损失就大了。
However, if we follow Jesus just to eat bread and see miracles, we are losing tremendously.
我们也许都听过一个典故，叫做卖毒还珠。
Is like buying the wooden box and returning the pearl.
所以就是有一个人，他买了装了珍珠的木匣子，然后却是退还了珍珠，然后用这个比喻来说，取舍不当，要的是次要的东西，而不是那个更好的东西。
So it's a metaphor for making a poor choice, valuing the secondary container over the primary treasure.
正像这个神迹，就像是装了珍珠的盒子。
So this miracle is just.The box holding the pearl.
宝贝是耶稣。
The true treasure is Jesus.
神迹最重要的不是饼，而是认识耶稣。
The most important thing is to recognize that God, Jesus is God.
与吃饱了的众人相比
，compared to the crowd who just ate their fill，
跟随耶稣的门徒们，这时他们开始思考。
The disciples following Jesus began to ponder at this moment.
眼前他们所看到的这一位，他们所跟随的隔壁村的这个木匠的儿子，究竟是谁？
The perception of the carpenter's son from the neighboring village was challenged. Who exactly is this person before them?
而在所有的十二个门徒里面
，Among all 12 disciples，
从经文当中我们可以想见
，We can infer from the text that
大家觉得谁最困惑
？Who is the most perplexed person？
我想腓力应该是那个最困惑的人。
So Philip must have been the most perplexed。
因为在第七节里面，腓力回答完耶稣的问题之后
，After Philip answers Jesus in verse 7，
整个这段经文再没有关于腓力的描写。
There is no further description of him in the passage。
那么问题来了，腓力在想什么？而腓力又是谁呢
？So the question arises, what was Philip thinking, and who was Philip？
我们对腓力的了解又有多少呢
？How much do we know actually about Philip？
我们除了知道腓力是耶稣的十二个门徒之一，我们还能想到其他关于腓力的记载吗
？Aside from knowing he was a disciple, can we think of any other records of Philip in the Bible？
我想我们想不到太多关于腓力的经文，甚至一个手可以数得过来。
I suspect we can't think of too many verses. You can just count them in one hand.
因为圣经里面只有四处关于他的记载。
Because there are only four mentions of him in the New Testament.
约翰福音一章，耶稣呼召腓力做门徒。
All within the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, where Jesus calls Philip to be a disciple.
六章，耶稣问他去哪里买饼。
Chapter 6, where Jesus asked him where to buy bread.
最后晚餐的时候，腓力求耶稣将父显给他们看。
As the Last Supper, where he askedJesus to show them the Father.
还有一段间接描写是说几个希腊人找腓力去见耶稣，然后腓力呢没有直接去引荐他们，又去找了安德烈才一起去告诉耶稣。
And one more passage where a few Greeks approach Philip wanting to see Jesus, and Philip goes to find Andrew before they tell Jesus together.
所以我们看腓力这个人，他其实有点特别，是不是
？So we see Philip is quite a unique person.
整个的新约里面只有关于四处他的记载，而且都在约翰福音里面。
And yet these few records only appear in John.
我想，如果让我们说出十二个门徒是谁的话，腓力应该是那个最容易被忘记的人。他有一点在门徒圈里有点小透明的感觉。
It feels like a bit, Philip was nobody or invisible within the circles of disciples.
但是为什么在五饼二鱼这个这么大的神迹里面？腓力能入了耶稣的眼呢
？But why did Philip catch Jesus' eyes during the miracle of the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish？
我们有没有想过，为什么耶稣有十二个门徒，但他偏偏去问腓力呢
？Jesus had 12 disciples around him, so why did he single out Philip to ask？
主耶稣主动的来到腓力旁边
，Jesus proactively walked up to Philip and spoke to him，
跟腓力说话。经文说，腓力自己原知，经文说耶稣自己原知道要怎么行。他这样问腓力，是要试验腓力。
The text looks that Jesus himself already knew what he would do, and he asked Philip this to test him.
但我没有想过，为啥他偏偏要试验腓力呢
？But have you ever wondered why he had to test Philip specifically and not the other disciples?
通过经文，我们知道腓力是伯赛大人。所以耶稣问腓力，可能因为腓力是伯赛大人的缘故。
We know that they were near Bethsaida at this moment, so Jesus asked Philip because he was a local from Bethsaida.
但是这个理论又不成立，因为安德烈也是伯赛大人，那他就没有去问安德烈呀。
But among the disciples, Peter and Andrew were also from Bethsaida. Why was it Philip's turn to be questioned and tested by Jesus?
所以我怎么都找不到耶稣问腓力的原因。
So it's hard to find a reason for that.
想来想去，答案只能有一个。
Thinking over, there can only one answer.
就是耶稣 就一定是要找腓力，看准了他，甚至整个这个状况就是为腓力而量身定做的。
So the situation was tailor-made by Jesus specifically for Philip.
我一想，就是为了腓力这么一个小透明的门徒，这么兴师动众，没有这个必要吧。
When I think about this, it feels like a massive ordeal for just one person. Surely it wasn't necessary.
但是，亲爱的弟兄姐妹们，在耶稣基督的眼里，即便是再小透明的人
，But in Jesus' eyes, no matter how invisible or quiet a person might be, Jesus sees them and keeps them in their heart.
耶稣都把我们放在他的心里，在主的眼里，我们每一个人都是特别的、宝贵的、有意义的、有价值的。
In Lord's eyes, every single one of us is special, precious, meaningful, and valuable.
还记得那两千头闯下山崖、投在海里淹死了的猪吗
？Remember the 2,000 pigs that rushed down to the steep bank into the sea and drowned?
耶稣同样也是为了救一个人，所以即便我们再小透明、再普通、再默默无闻，在神的眼里，我们都是宝贝。
Even if we are completely invisible, ordinary, unnoticed, we are treasures in God's eyes.
腓力也是一样。我们从关于腓力为数不多的经文里，我们可以具体看看他究竟是怎样一个性格的人。
Philip was the same. From the few verses about him, we can see what kind of personality he had.
经文第七节说，腓力回答说，就是二十两银子的饼，叫他们个人吃一点也是不够的。
In verse 7, Philip says, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little.
我们看腓力他眼里看到现实情况，他理智务实，并且注重解决问题，注重结果。
He saw the harsh reality, was rational, and focused on the problem solving and outcomes.
我在研究腓力的时候，我就很好奇他的 MBTI 性格究竟是什么样的。
While preparing the sermon, I was curious about Philip's MBTI personality type.
然后我就去问了 Chat.
So I asked ChatGPT.
果不出所料哈，我猜腓力是一个 ISTJ， 他真的差不多就是一个 ISTJ。
Sure enough, ChatGPT inferred Philip was likely an ISTJ.
在座的有熟悉 ISTJ 的吗？
Anybody knows ISTJ?
简单来讲，这种性格的人他是天选打工人。
People with this personality are the ultimate reliable workers.
理性务实，注重逻辑导向，责任心强，做事严谨，以靠谱著称。
Rational, pragmatic, data logic driven, highly responsible, meticulous, and known for being dependable.
但缺点呢，就是很容易被眼前的现实跟数据限制。
But their weakness, however,is that they are easily limited by immediate reality and data.
超越逻辑的事情呢，会成为他认知的一大限制。
Things that transcend logic become a massive obstacle to their comprehension.
他对于耶稣的认识，通过他对但拿叶说，摩西在律法上所写的和众先知所记的那一位，我们遇见了，就是约瑟的儿子拿撒勒人耶稣。
His understanding of Jesus is revealed when he tells Nathaniel, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.
所以我们通过经文知道，腓力对耶稣的认识限制在了他的理性的认知里，限制在了他对律法的认知和对人的认知里。
We see that Philip's understanding of Jesus was confined within his rational perception, limited to his understanding of the law and human nature.
他的这个限制被耶稣看见了。
Jesus saw his limitations.
耶稣就主动来到他的身边，给他制造问题，为的是使他能够面对认识自己的问题，以至于可以帮助腓力认识他自己，认识耶稣。
So Jesus actively approached Philip, created a problem, forced him to face it and test him, all to help Philip understand himself.
有的时候，当我们的生活里出现一些难题的时候
，Sometimes when difficulties arise in our lives and make us sad，
生活让我们难过的时候，我们其实可以换个角度来思考。
We can change our perspective and think。
在这件事情上，神在挑战我什么
？What is God challenging us through this matter？
神要我学习什么
？What am I supposed to learn？
网上有一个梗说，当生活对我睁一眼闭一眼的时候，我以为生活放过了我，结果是生活瞄准了我。
There is an internet meme that goes, when life turned a blind eye to me, I thought life was letting me off the hook. It turned out life was just taking aim at me.
就像耶稣瞅准了腓力的认知限制一样，他要试验腓力，是为了要帮助腓力突破自己的认知和限制来认识耶稣。
Just like Jesus pinpointed Philip's connective limitations, he wanted to test Philip to help him break through those boundaries and truly know Jesus.
认识耶稣不仅仅是律法和众先知所写的那一位，不仅仅是隔壁村木匠的儿子，认识耶稣更是神的儿子。
Knowing Jesus not just as the one written by Moses, the prophets, not just as the carpenter's son from the next village, but as the Son of God, the Christ.
所以当我们感觉我们被生活针对的时候，我们不妨换一个角度想一想。
Therefore, when we feel like life is targeting us, we might as well change our perspective.
针对我们的不是生活。
It's not life targeting us.
因为一切都在神的手里。
As everything is in God's hands.
上帝对这个世界，对我有绝对的主权。
God has absolute sovereignty over this world.
神对我所怀的意念是赐平安的意念。
His intentions towards us are plans for peace.
神的美意本是如此。
And his good will is just so.
这是主耶稣为我量身定做的。
This is a situation tailor-made for me by the Lord Jesus.
为的是要我能够真正的认识耶稣基督，认识神。
So that I can truly know Jesus and know God.
对于腓力来讲，
For Philip,
最难打破的就是对现实的认知的限制。
The hardest part was breaking the limits that physically reality placed on his perception.
所以当神迹结束之后，每一个门徒手里有一筐饼的时候，腓力的手里也拿着一筐饼的时候，就是借着这个事实来打破腓力对于这个认知限制的时候。
So, and Jesus used the physical reality of having a basket of bread in each disciple's hand is to break Philip's limitations.
这个图不敢给大家多看，因为是 chat 做的，然后我只让他修改了三次，再多他就让我给钱了，我没给钱，所以有很多破绽，多看就出破绽了，然后不能给大家多看哈。你不用说。神迹结束之后，
So after the miracle end，
经文第十三节说，他们将那五个大麦饼的零碎，就是众人吃剩下来的，收拾起来，装满了十二个篮子。
They put all the remainings of the bread and put into 12 buckets.
收拾起来的十二个篮子，刚好每个门徒里面手里有一个。
And after the buckets, they are full and each evenly distributed in 12 disciples.
根据小透明的腓力，如果不是每个人里都有一个的话，他可能不会分到。所以因为每个人手里都有一个，腓力手里自然也会捧着一个装满零碎的大麦饼的篮子。
So as Philip was invisible among the disciples, so Jesus evenly distributed all the buckets so everyone have one.
一篮子碎的大麦饼对于腓力来讲是难以理解的。
So oneFull bucket of the remains of bread is unbelievable to Philip.
腓力手里饼的重量和最开始的五千人和五个饼的对比。
The weight of the bread in Philip's hands contrasted with the initial 5,000 people and 5 loaves of bread.
对于他来说又是无比真实的。
Was undeniably real.
就是这五个饼和之后的这一筐饼。对于腓力来讲都是现实，都是他对于现实的认知。
The five loaves of bread before the miracle and the basket of bread after the miracle were both realities Philip could perceive.
对于腓力来讲这都是真的，但是耶稣就是用这样的来真实的极大的反差的对比来打破腓力的认知限制。
The Lord Jesus used his literal contrast to shatter Philip's connective boundaries, forcing him to face God's firsthand.
他把腓力推到现实面前，亲身使腓力面对神，经历神所行的神迹。
To experience the God who performs miracles while holding the basket of broken barley bread and truly know that Jesus is God.
让腓力可以手里抱着大麦饼，眼睛里看到认识耶稣基督。五饼二鱼的这个神迹。 至少受益者我们说是五千加十二人，对吗？
In this miracle of five loaves, bread and two fish, the beneficiaries included at least 5,000 people plus 12 disciples, right?
但是最大的受益者获得最多的是谁呢？
But who was the greatest beneficiary, the one who gained the most?
是吃饱了的众人吗？
Was it the crowd that ate their fill?
还是每一个人都得了一篮子的饼的门徒们？
Was it the disciples who each received a basket?
或者是说我们想有没有可能是腓力呢？
Or was it today's protagonist, Philip?
对于这个神迹我们不否认，对于每个经历这个神迹的人来讲，他都是最大的受益者，因为都是按照他们所需要的得到了吃饱了。
We cannot deny that each individual, they feel like the biggest beneficiary because they received what they needed and were filled.
但是吃饱了还会饿。
However, those who ate would grow hungry again.
一篮子的饼也会吃完。
And a basket of bread would eventually be finished.
而若因这神迹能够认识耶稣，认识神，才是真正最大的收获，才是真正最大的受益者。
But if one comes to know Jesus as God through this miracle, that person is the greatest beneficiary.
这也才是主耶稣行神迹的最终目的。从耶稣和腓力的对话来看，神是发起者，并且主动来找腓力，就是试验腓力。神有绝对的主权来找腓力这个人。
Looking at the conversation between Lord Jesus and Philip, God is the initiator. He proactively sought Philip out to test him.God has absolute sovereignty to seek out this specific person.
就像生活瞄准了我们，而我们只能面对接受一样，我们只能接受，没有选择。
Just like when life takes aim at us, and we can only face and accept, we have no choice in the matter.
但是我们要怎么面对，能做什么呢？从腓力身上我们看。
So what can we learn from Philip's side?
就是从我们自己这边我们能学到什么，以至于我们可以不白经历这个事情，可以更多的认识神呢？
From our own perspective, so that we too can become people who can truly know God.
第一，我们说我们要听见耶稣说话。
First, we must hear what Jesus speak.
这个听见是指当神介入到我们的生活当中的时候。
This hearing means when God intervenes in our lives.
借着圣经的话和圣灵的感动提醒我们的时候，
reminding us about through the words of Bible and promptings of Holy Spirit.
我们要听，而且也要听见。
We must listen and we must actually hear.
听见神的话容易吗？
Is it easy to hear God's word?
说容易也容易，说不容易也不容易。
It's both easy and difficult.
撒母耳小的时候，他在殿里听见神呼唤他，他听见了，但是他不知道那是神在呼唤他。
When Samuel was young, he heard God calling him in the temple. He heard the sound, but he didn't realize it was God calling him.
所以我们得知道，我们得认识神，得认识神的声音。
Therefore, we must know God and recognize His voice.
这听起来玄乎其玄，但其实一点都不。
This might sound mysterious, but it isn't mysterious at all.
神已经把他的声音都录下来给我们了。
God has already recorded His voice for us and written it down in the Bible.
都记录在圣经里了。我们读圣经就是读神的话。
When we read the Bible, we are reading God's words.
我们越读神的话，越熟悉他的话，就能越能听见神对我们说话。
The more we read His words, the better we can hear His voice.
我们要知道，就像耶稣去找腓力一样，神是想要跟我们说话的。
We must realize that God deeply desires to speak with us.
但是是我们听不到，不听他在说话。
But we often fail to hear him.
几年前有一个电影叫做 Bumblebee。
A few years ago, there was a movie called Bumblebee.
就是那个变形金刚大黄蜂的那个电影。
That's from the Transformers franchise.
里面有一个情景，说这个大黄蜂变形金刚他想要跟人说话，但是他跟人无法交流。
The Transformer wanted to speak to human, but couldn't communicate normally.
于是变形金刚他就采用无线电广播里面的声音的字和词句子，然后挑出来，组成他想要跟人说的人能听懂的话，说给人听。
So he took words, phrases, and sentences from radio broadcast to piece together into sentence that humans could understand.
神跟我们说话也是这样。
This is exactly how God speaks to us.
神借着圣经，借着我们能看懂的文字跟我们说话。
Through the Bible, using text we can comprehend, He speaks to us.
所以我们得读经，熟悉它，听神跟我们说话。
We must read the Bible to hear God speaking to us.
第二，我们不仅要听，听见，而且我们还要跟神说话。
Second, we must not only hear God speak, but we must also speak with God.
这才是交流的一个完整的概念。
This completes the entire concept of communication.
主耶稣对腓力说话，给他提问题。
The Lord Jesus spoke to Philip and asked him a question.
我们看腓力听到了，然后他做了什么呢？
Philip heard him, and what did he do?
他听完之后转身走了吗？
Did he just turn around?
没有，腓力他听到了，并且他根据自己的思考回答主耶稣基督的问题。
No, Philip heard him and answered the Lord Jesus based on his own reasoning.
这是与耶稣说话，是跟神沟通交流。
This is speaking with Jesus, communicating with him.
腓力身上的这一点给我有很大的提醒，因为平时我跟神沟通说话不是这样的。
Yet our usual communication with him isn't like this.
甚至可能连沟通都算不上。
Sometimes it doesn't even qualify as communication.
因为我平时跟神说话就只顾我自己说我自己的。
When we usually speak to God, we usually care about what saying our own piece without listening to him.
不怎么听他说，就是一直自己在那里讲，有点像不听不听苍蝇嗡嗡那样，就只顾自己说自己的。
We just keep talking, almost like saying, "I'm not listening, I'm not listening. You are just a buzzing fly."
当我这样与主耶稣沟通的时候，这个沟通和交流是无效的。
As a result, our interaction with Jesus become ineffective.
为什么呢？因为这个沟通没通啊。
Because our communication fails to connect.
主耶稣一直在。
The Lord Jesus is always here.
他在跟我们说话，他期待我们听见他说话，对他有回复。
He's speaking to us, and he expects us to hear his words and respond to him.
我同事有一个小孩。
One of my colleagues has a child.
差不多一岁半吧，快两岁了。
Who is about 1.5 years old.
有一天，他跟我说，他跟他一岁半的女儿说话，问他，哎，你要不要吃酸奶呀？
One day he told me that when she used to speak to her daughter and asked, "Do you want some yogurt?"
以前呢，那个孩子听到有酸奶，他就过来接过来吃，或者就过来吃，或者他不想吃的时候，他转头就跑了。
And my colleague would just hand the yogurt over, and her daughter would either reach out, take it, or eat it, or turn her hand and run away.
或者是他就是不理他妈妈在说什么，就是在低头玩自己的玩具。
Or just keep playing with her toys and ignore.Her mom.
直到那一天，他问他女儿说：“你要不要酸奶呀？”
Until one day, she asked her daughter, "Do you want some yogurt?"
他女儿看着他。
Her daughter looked at her.
然后说：“呀。”
Nodded and said, "Yeah."
我同事听见他女儿说话，就这一个字哦，激动的不得了。
My colleague was incredibly thrilled to hear her daughter answer her with that single word.
说哎呀，你跟我交流，你跟我说话，你回答我了，我们有交流了，你现在是个人了。
Wow, she said, "You answer me. You are communicating with me. You are a real person now."
所以当我想我们家里有小孩子，可能都会想到自己跟小朋友交流的时候的这种喜悦。
So those who have kids will feel thrilled as well.
你是不是这样
？Yeah.
所以其实当神跟我们说话，我们回答神的时候，他也是这么开心的。
So when we talk to God and when we answer Him and communicate with Him, our God is just as happy as thrilled.
我们要对神有回应。
We need to reply God.
要用自己的方式对神有回应。
We need to respond to Him in our own way.
用我们自己的程度去真实的回应。
Using our own capacity, respond to Him truthfully.
就像腓力用他自己的程度，他自己能够想到的解决方式的答案一样，去回答耶稣一样。
Just as Philip answered Jesus according to his own level and the solutions he could think of.
因为耶稣要的不是答案，而是我们要来到他的面前。
God doesn't need an answer from us.
只要我们肯回应神，真实的面对他，与他说话，这就是好的，是神所要的。
As long as we're willing to respond to God, face Him genuinely, and speak with Him, that is good enough, and that is what God desires.
无论我们几岁，信主多少年，回应神对于神来讲，难道不都像那个一岁半的小孩去回应家长吗？
No matter how old we are or how many years we have believed in the Lord, isn't responding to God always like 1.5-year-old child responding to a parent?
所以我们只管坦然无惧地真实地来到他的诗人宝座前跟他交流。
Therefore, just approach his throne to grace, a throne of grace with confidence and communicate with him truthfully.
我们的神愿与我们交流，就像他一手安排了他与腓力的这次对话一样。
Our God is willing to communicate with us just as he personally orchestrated this conversation with Philip to bring Philip to truly know him.
他想让腓力认识他，他也想让我们通过跟他交流，经历他，认识他。
So he wants Philip to know more about him.
他也想让我们认识他。
And also we can truly know Jesus as well.
所以下次当我们觉得又被生活瞄准了的时候，在经历难处、问题的时候，经历高山低谷的时候。
So next time when life takes aim at us, when we experience difficulties and problems,
我们知道那是神瞄准了我。
We know that this is the moment God has pinpointed us.
他要跟我说话。
He wants to speak with us.
所以请大家想一想。
So let's think about it.
我们平时是怎么与神说话的呢？
How do we communicate with God normally?
是你说他听？
Is it what you speak and he listen?
还是说他说你不听？
Or he respond and you never listen?
或者是说你们两个都不怎么说话的？
Or you two no longer speak at all.
所以如果是出现这样的情况的话，那么从现在此时此刻开始，就让我们跟神说话吧。
So if this happens from this moment on, let's speak to God.
从回应他开始。
Starting with respond him.
从说呀开始。
Respond him with a yes.
让我们一起来祷告。
Let's pray together.
天父，我们感谢你，让我们知道你在。
Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us know that you are here.
也感谢你愿意与我们说话。
And that you are willing to speak with me.
愿我们都听见你跟我们说话。
May I hear and may I answer, communicating and growing with you.
也愿我们可以回答与你沟通，也有长进。我们这样祷告祈求，是奉主耶稣基督的名。
The prayer is in the name of Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.